This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It is 3:30 on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I am Nick Schwert. We are so happy to have you with us on a lovely Tuesday afternoon, and it's 3:30, which means it's time for our weekly visit with my good friend from the Lawrence Journal World, Matt Tate, joining us now on the program. How are you, sir?
I could not possibly be better.
That seems to be a rolling theme with you from week to week.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. You know, life's good. You work hard, you play harder, and then you go do it again the next day. So, yeah, no, other than this weather out there, which is kind of the most boring topic on the face of the earth, and everybody knows that the conversation has gone south when you start talking about the weather. Other than the weather, everything's great, man.
And you spent, you know, it's funny we're bringing you on today because you spent so much time on the KU football beat, and you talk about life being good. Well, now you get to cover the Kansas basketball beat, which I know you're still following KU football, perhaps not as diligently as you once were, which I would imagine would lead to a happier life given the circumstances around this program. But seeing as though you are a bit of a renaissance man, that game on Saturday, you've seen a lot of bad losses that Kansas football has suffered, but that one was as demoralizing as I could possibly remember.
Yeah, I think everything you just said is accurate. It's definitely, you know, I still go to a few games and that kind of thing, but it's nice to not have to be there and sit through all of it like I've done so many times in the past, like you said. So I think, you know, I don't think it's anywhere near the worst of the worst, and maybe that's just a personal pick or a personal preference type of thing. I can think of a lot more. Just flat out awful, embarrassing, brutal.
It just seems like for this regime, for this coaching staff, that was the first time where it. I don't want to say they gave up, but there was that series in the third quarter, a fumble, Tech returned it for a touchdown, KU throws a pick on the next possession, and it just seemed like it was hopeless. You know, it just seemed like the life was completely sucked out of that team.
Sure, I mean you. Right there is one of the reasons you could say that and things you could point to back it up. But I think the biggest thing was the fact that it was you had 2 weeks to get ready for this game and you go out there and you lay an egg and you're down 21-0 before anyone can even wake up. I mean, that's as bad a look as there can be. I mean, if you expect as a fan base, as a player or a coach or an administrator or a parent or however you're connected to that program, you expect that after 2 weeks off, these guys are going to be ready to go. They're going to be buttoned up. They're going to be fired up. They're going to be dying to get out there and play and you know, show that what they did against West Virginia to kind of stay around and hang into that game was not a fluke and that they are turning a corner ever so slowly. And instead of doing that, instead of taking advantage of that, they go down 21-0 and you know, send everybody else out to the golf course or out to rake leaves or you know, whatever they could do. I mean, it was a beautiful day. There's no reason to sit in front of your TV any longer if you're not at the game. And obviously, looking around the stands, there weren't many people at the game. So if you're tuning in, radio, television, whatever, if it goes that bad that quickly, there's no reason to stick with it. And I think that's hopeless is a word that got thrown around a lot. I think it's fair. I mean, I think that you're watching this team go absolutely in the wrong direction. And it's perplexing at the very least. And again, and if you're a fan or part of the program, it's got to be just unbelievably frustrating. I can't even envision what it's like to be in their shoes.
And I don't say this to be overtly negative, but I mean, you'd be crazy to not have question marks about this program and where it's headed. I think that probably even internally, people are maybe second guessing themselves, wondering, okay, is this going to work? But like, it was that maybe a turning point for the way you see the quarterback play all of a sudden back in flux again, and you see once again this team kind of make some strides there early in the second half and the trains come off the track. Like, how much do you question if this program is headed in the right direction?
All the time, and a lot. I mean, I think it's funny you say that because on our podcast that we do twice a week, we do a football one and a basketball one, and it's Mondays and Wednesdays usually. And on our KU Sports Hour football edition this week, my man Scott Chasen, who's doing some intern work for us this year, I guess, is he brought up something about the Rutgers game, which was in David Beatty's first year, and he referenced that in some way, how crazy that game was or how weird it started. And while we were doing it, I got on my computer and looked back at my game story from that game and was just curious what I wrote. You know, while Scott was talking about someone else's writing, he wasn't a teammate then. So, hey, that's fine if he wants to go look at someone else's writing. I mean, I made him pay for it later. I made him run sprints in the office.
Right.
But he looked good. He's getting a lot better. His stamina and just strength are up.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a lot of promise. But anyway, the point of telling you this story is I went back and looked at that that lead, just the first paragraph from my game story in that Rutgers loss, and I don't remember it exactly right now, but it said, you know, something to do with hope, something to do with, you know, if you're an optimist, you look at it this way. If you're a pessimist, you look at it this way. But both sides could agree that on one thing. It's hard to win without a quarterback. And here we are 2 years later, and the same thing could be said. I mean, you don't know if Peyton Bender's the guy. You don't know if Carter Stanley's the guy. And that's a full 2 years later, even more than 2 years. And not just 2 years in terms of calendar years, but year three of this head coach's tenure. And you know, gosh, that's not a good sign for the program when things that are written in year one about, you know, not having this or not having that are still applicable in year three, middle of the season. That's just a really telling thing, and it was crazy that it worked out that way because I don't remember what I wrote. I didn't expect to see it be something that could be applied to today, but it very much was, and now this team and this program and the fans that are still hanging in there with them have to move forward wondering that. Do we have a quarterback? Does this team have somebody that we can look at and say, that's the guy? I don't know if the answer is yes. I mean, they're not telling us any answer, obviously. Beatty loves to keep that a secret, and that's his prerogative. But it kind of speaks to the idea that they haven't fixed that yet. And that's just one of the problems. You know, that to put it all on the quarterback thing is not entirely fair because there's so many issues and things that need to be fixed with this team. But obviously that's one of the most visible ones and one that people pay a lot of attention to.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. And this may be hard to rationalize, but it's what my gut's telling me, and I'm just going to stick to it. Like, as painful as this may be right now to be a Kansas football fan, you feel like you're not asking much from the program, and still they're not delivering enough to keep you satisfied or to keep you feeling like they're headed in the right direction. I think they are at a point now. I don't mean to be crude, but what do you have to lose to just stick with it and see if it works out, right? Because whoever you think they're going to go and get, you can toss names out there. I think it's pointless because whoever they're going to get next after showing what happened to David Beatty, if you were to move on from him, it's somebody you haven't heard of, right? It's somebody who's not on your radar because that's what you'd be dealing with going with your fourth coach in effectively 11 seasons. Like, what do you have to lose at this point to just stick it out and see if it works?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you know, and I think that's what will happen. I mean, there's been some debate that if they lost every game the rest of the year, 70 to nothing, would they do something then? And, you know, even then, I'm not sure they would. I still think there would be a case to be made for doing exactly what you just said, and that's, hey, let's see what happens. Give him year four, because we haven't done that in eternity. I mean, it's been an eternity since they've given a coach actual time around here, and that doesn't mean it's going to work. That doesn't mean it's going to fix everything. That doesn't mean it's even going to be the right move, but it's something different because, you know, you can't keep firing guys 2-3 years in. It just doesn't, it obviously does not work, or at least it does not work here. We know that much with pretty good certainty. So, you know, I get tired of people throwing the names out there and stuff like that. Two reasons. One, because it's probably not going to happen. It's probably a waste of time to do an exercise like that where, well, maybe this guy or maybe that guy. But two, I'm a real believer in this point I'm about to make. I don't know that anyone would want the job. I mean, it is not an attractive job, and it has not been for a long time. And, you know, if you're talking about a lot of – because they're playing Iowa State this week and because Matt Campbell obviously just beat Oklahoma in Norman and has made a real impression up there really quickly. Let's talk about him, for example. Let's say that was a guy who they wanted to hire when they hired David Beatty. I'm not sure he would have taken it. I mean, you know, there's been such struggles that have come before these guys. And you know, a guy like Justin Fuente at Memphis was another name that people were kind of like, well, that's a guy that they could go get. Well, yeah, they could try. But if you're Justin Fuente, I don't know that you take the Kansas job because it's potentially a dead end. And we've now seen three coaches in a row. Beatty still has time, and maybe he will get it going. But as of this day and this time and this point in the universe, he hasn't, and it looks bad. You know, we've seen three coaches sort of hit the wall as they tried to move forward and not be able to do that. So, you know, those young hotshot names like Matt Campbell and Justin Fuente, I think with all sincerity that they just say, yeah, well, I appreciate the interest and the offer, but now I'm going to wait it out. And then if you do that, you end up going to a place like Virginia Tech, which is where Fuente's at now, you know. So I just don't think the need is there for that caliber of coach to come here and risk his future when he could just sit one more year or go take another job somewhere else. And then what you're talking about after that is you know, the retread names and how doing that is. And if you're doing that, you're probably going to have to pay them money. So I think it's, as much as I said it's a wasted exercise, I just spent 5 minutes talking about it. But I do think it's unfair and premature for people to start talking about that because I do think it's in the best interest of the program to just stick with it and see what happens. And you know, if you bring in a new guy next year, you're not going to be any good. If you stick with Beatty, well, you might not be any good either, but at least that's the same thing, you know, and at least maybe you gave it a chance to be different, especially with this roster with almost everybody coming back. You know, maybe that's the spark they needed. Maybe they need a coach to get his senior class to the table and then maybe see if that can spark something. It's so maddening to watch it just be Groundhog Day. I mean, I know that's kind of cliche. People say that a lot about a lot of things, but that's what it feels like. It feels like that movie, Groundhog Day, where it's just loss after loss, mistake after mistake, coach struggling after coach struggling, quarterback struggling after quarterback struggling. I mean, there is no end in sight of this vicious, vicious cycle that has just had this program in its grasp for way, way too long now.
We're talking to Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal World here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. You mentioned like that there probably aren't many candidates out there who would find Kansas as an attractive job. So if we can't pinpoint that to specifically like what's happened over the last 7 years, right? Because we can point to individual reasons as to why Turner Gill didn't work out or why Charlie Weiss didn't work out. And maybe sure, we're getting to that point with Beatty. But if it's just simply not an attractive job, that would mean that there is just something that is inherently inferior about Kansas football, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just wondering, like, what is it? Like, what is it about Kansas that just will not allow anybody to succeed?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, and I wish I did because it would be a lot easier to cover and a lot easier to make sense of it all. I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the grind of covering this is a lot of it doesn't make sense. You know, everybody wants to point to this being a basketball school. That's fine. But and it is, obviously. But you've got a head basketball coach who just goes out of his way to support the football program and goes out of his way to talk publicly about how important it is for this football program to get going for the university and for the basketball program. I mean, so that's not a dark cloud. That's not a bad shadow to end. That is not an excuse for not being able to get football going. You also hear people conveniently say that there's no support, that the administration doesn't care about football. I mean, that one is even more absurd. That couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, these guys, maybe they're not doing it right. Maybe they haven't hit home runs left and right. Maybe they haven't even hit singles left and right. But it's not because they don't care. I mean, Shane Zinger cares more about that program and getting it going and finding a way to make it happen than any fan out there. You know, it doesn't mean he's done a great job, doesn't mean he's figured it out yet, but it's not for lack of caring. I mean, that guy cares a great deal about it and spends a lot of time, both waking and sleeping hours, trying to figure out how to help, what to do next, how to support it, where to give the money, how to get the money. I mean, this is a 365-day-a-year job that he has put a lot of time into. So the administrative support and saying that that's lacking, that's a line of crap, too. I don't like that at all. So those would be two obvious things to point to, you know, if you're trying to figure out, like you said, what is it? Well, it's neither one of those things. So I don't know if people believe in curses or what, but you know, you almost have to start going to that level to try to rationalize what is happening. I mean, a lot of people look back at that Orange Bowl year, and there are a lot of people that believe that maybe Kansas didn't belong in that Orange Bowl. Maybe Missouri was the team that belonged in it, but because of the savvy of Kansas's athletic director at the time, Lou Perkins, and his contacts and you know, ability to make deals happen and things like that, he talked to the right people, and Kansas was the team that was picked, and they went on and won the game to validate and justify all that. And you know, so maybe there was a little bit of a selling the program soul to get into that game, and now they've paid for it. And if that's the case, who knows? You know, obviously the Tom Keegan here likes to write the curse of the Mangino. I mean, you know, that's obviously a little bit of a play on the curse of the Bambino that the Red Sox had to deal with, and you know, it took them how many years? 80-some years to break that. I don't think it'll take 80-some years to do this one here, but it might. I mean, it's certainly looking like a case could be made for that. So, you know, there is no easy answer. By now, you know, you kind of expect that things would be different. I mean, these guys, I was talking about this the other day, these guys, I mean, these athletes are all used to winning. I mean, they all come from programs that won, and some of them won big in their high school days. The guys from the Turner Gill era, from the holdover Mangino era, from the Charlie Weiss era almost exclusively, those are all gone now. So that stench of losing that was a part of those regimes, it should be gone. And then you look at it on top of that, and you look at Beatty's staff. I mean, you've got Kenny Perry and Doug Meacham, who were at TCU. You've got Joe DeForest, who was at Oklahoma State and West Virginia. You've got Clint Bowen, who coached under Mangino when they won the Orange Bowl. You've got David Beatty, who coached under Mangino. You've got David Beatty, who coached Evan Sumlin at Texas A&M. I mean, these are guys who have all been around legitimate programs, and there's no reason to think that they don't know what winning looks like and how to do it. But for some reason, they're not able to do it here, or at least haven't been able to do it together yet. So that's why I think, you know, as much as it might sound ridiculous, you do have to bring into the equation that there could be something extra, something out there along the line of a curse that could just be creating this monster that has been so difficult for this program to climb out of.
And maybe I don't know. Because I don't know if I subscribe
you're
to
not buying the curse.
I don't know if I subscribe to curses, but I think there's a weird juxtaposition where it's like, I don't know what the reverse of a curse is, but that's what Kansas basketball has going, right? Like, they can do no wrong. KU football can do no right. So maybe somebody along the way sold their soul to the devil that included KU always being good at basketball and never quite being able to get there in football. So you may be onto something.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you know, most schools would take their basketball team being, you know, a top four or five seed in the tournament every year, giving them a fair chance to have a shot to make a run to the title and a pretty decent road and all that.
Okay, you know what? That's a great – now we're actually getting somewhere. Now that's a great hypothetical. Is it a fair trade-off for Kansas for what you get in Kansas basketball versus what you don't get in Kansas football? Do you think most fans would, if you said, okay, this is the way it's going to continue to be for the next 20 years, so don't ever get your hopes up in football, but at least you'll have a rock-solid basketball program to depend on. Do you think most fans would take that trade?
I think so. I mean, I do. I basketball runs this town. Basketball is the beloved sport of so many, and not just in the area, but coast to coast and worldwide. And I do. I think if you told them, hey, in order to get your football team going to bowl games and winning six or seven games every year, you're going to have to deal with a season or two every four or five seasons where you're a four or a five seed, or gosh, maybe like Kentucky did or Duke did or North Carolina did, you might even have that one year in there where you miss the tournament altogether. I think people would say, hold the hell on. I'm not having any of that. I do not want anything other than what I've had, and I can just ignore football because at least the fall weather's still nice. You can get out on the lake in September. You can go play golf for most of it. I mean, there's plenty of stuff for people to keep themselves occupied with that doesn't have to involve KU football. So I don't think – I mean, you see it. People freak out when KU basketball's a two seed. They don't understand why they weren't a one, So – I don't know. I mean, I think you have a large group of people. I don't want to make it sound like it's throughout the entire Jayhawk Nation or anything like that. I think you have a legitimately large group of people that really wants to see football improve and would absolutely take that trade. But if we're talking about a million people, and that's just a number because it's nice and easy and round and I can do the math off of it, if we're talking about a million people, I think that group of football people that would trade that is only about 100,000 of them. I think the other 900,000 of them are people that would say, no, I want to be that one or two seed every year. Every year, and let's just keep going how we're going.
I would trade a NCAA tournament appearance for a bowl win. You'd have to guarantee me the win, but I would trade it. Because, Roy Williams.
Wow.
Roy Williams missed the tournament, and he's been to two Final Fours, won it all last year. Calipari's been to two Final Fours since missing the tournament 5 years ago. So you can recover from missing that, but winning a bowl game would do wonders for the program, and I feel like the residuals would last for a while. So I would make that trade in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people probably would, although I think in theory it's easy to say you would. I think when it came down to it, and on Selection Sunday, Kansas.
That'd be a rough year. That'd be a long year.
That would be weird. You'd be talking about like 15 losses or something, right?
I mean, yeah. Well, can I get the bowl this year? Can I get the bowl next year, and then we push the missing of the NCAA tournament like 10 years down the line? Is that fair?
Future consideration.
Yeah, exactly.
A missed NCAA appearance to be named later,
that
kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'll let you do that. I don't mind. I believe in curses, so I'll let you do whatever the hell you want.
Appreciate you, man. Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World, thanks for stopping by.
Always, Nick. Thanks. Take care.
All right, you too, man. That is Matt Tate. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.